Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to Bagging Book Club, the fortnightly podcast where we record a podcast, well done, where we review a book about sex and gender and banging. I'm Lena Norms.
I'm Hannah Witten.
And I'm Lucy Moon.
Woo! Woo! Can we get a woo? Yes, listeners at home, you have guessed correctly. We are not alone. We have managed to make more than two friends. Congratulations. We have many friends. Would anybody in the audience like to say hello to the listeners in the future? Time travel. Say hi to the people listening.
Hi.
So thank you.
Did someone say fuck off?
I think that was an affectionate fuck off.
Well, we can swear on this podcast, so it's absolutely fine.
This month, we have read a book called Doing It by the author Hannah Witten. Now, usually the authors aren't present, so we get to say whatever the fuck we want, but she's here.
Sorry.
Hey, Hannah. So, we're going to talk about the book. We're going to quiz you a little bit, but I'm going to try and not make this into a chat show.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like Jimmy Kimmel.
It's not an interview. It's more of a
This is your sex
discussion.
Life, which should be a better version of This Is Your Life.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe in 30 years we'll do This Is Your Sex Life, Hannah, over the past 40 years.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I hope it's not like a review as in how was that? I hope it's still a how is it?
A memoir.
Oh yeah, true.
Yeah. So the most important, and let's face it, the best part of Banging Book Club, the bit that definitely everybody hears, and then maybe they hear it and then they turn off and we never get those listeners back. But the bit that everybody knows is the sound review. Now, I'm not gonna ignore the fact that we've got more than one sound making vehicle in this room, and more than three now. So I thought that it'd be appropriate that all together we do our sound review. Now, for those of you who may not know what a sound review is, I don't know, maybe you're becoming your boyfriend or girlfriend, I don't know, maybe you're not. Maybe you've wandered in from the street. The sound review is where we record just a sound of how we felt about the book, and the words afterwards are superfluous. We don't really need them. The sound is the most important thing.
Podcasters can just end there.
Yeah. Language is limited, but sounds are infinite. So
should we do ours first?
Yeah.
And then
okay.
As an listening audience, you can collectively do one. How does that sound?
Yeah. Lucy.
Yep. So you guys, you know that we say that I have trouble contributing in the podcast because everyone gets really carried away. I feel like I've managed about three words and they were my
name. I'm sorry, Lucy.
Make a really long
the
sound.
The thing about Lucy is she is one of my wisest friends ever, but she just slowly thinks about things. It's really beautiful. She just processes.
Yeah, that's me.
That's cool. But I want you to just make a sound now spontaneously.
Oh, not a noise review?
Noise review?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
A noise review.
Maybe you could make some
okay,
sound.
Okay, I'll do the first noise review.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my noise review.
I also haven't talked to you guys about the book yet. Oh God, please be good.
But I could probably, because I went on tour with Hannah for the book tour, I could probably retell your losing your virginity story multiple times word for word.
Good. Lena, your
okay,
sound review?
Okay, my sound review. That's my sound when I realised that Hannah wrote a book. And this is what my sound review for reading the book.
No way!
That's a lot of sounds.
Yeah, I had
also,
a lot of feelings.
I just want to point out that you're just really reminding me of Catelyn Moran right now. Lena performing live vibes is very Catelyn.
And I just need a fag, right? Just be like,
She means cigarette, by the
way. Yeah, or like, no, now she vapes. Now she vapes, and she's realised she can vape in the South Bank Centre. She was just fully sitting in the South Bank Centre stage with 1,000 people vaping, and I was like, I just...
Amazing. Do I need to do a sound review?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's me birthing. Yeah, that's me birthing a book.
That is better than I expected.
Okay, all of you guys who have either read the book or have heard things on Twitter, your sound review after three.
1, 2, 3. Yeah.
I'm going to go with that being overwhelmingly positive. So if it wasn't, I didn't hear you.
A flashback to like year 8 when you tell people that you're dating somebody, everyone's like,
Brilliant.
Okay, so Hannah's book, when I try and explain it to people who don't know who Hannah is, which I don't know that many people who don't know who Hannah is because I don't plan to hang out with those people for very long. But when I try and explain what Hannah's book is about, first I'm just like, it's doing it. This is fun. It's sex, rude, sex. Read it. It's hilarious. But also, you know, like in essence, it's a sex ed book. Like it's education. Yeah. And we shy away from the word education quite a lot. Fucking boring. But like this was not, which is great.
Sex is always interesting though.
What exactly?
You know, I don't think there's any way that you can make sex boring. Well, in my opinion.
I don't know.
You didn't go to church in England school, man, Hannah.
Lucy, do you want to tell us something?
I'm good.
I think we call this fun privilege.
Fun privilege.
Yeah, you had a fun child. Fun privilege.
It's because I'm a 7 on the Enneagram.
Oh. We can't Enneagram.
People are just
right
like,
now.
Oh, the fucking Enneagram.
We're
again.
More than numbers, Hannah. We're also letters.
ENFP.
You're a cap 3 and you want it anyway. Let's not. Okay. So, like, I wanted to first talk about like what we think sex ed is, because I think we like throw it around a lot, and like it's like, oh, like, did you have a sex ed class? Yes or no? And then, you know, but did you really receive sex education? Do you know what I mean? So like, what, Lucy?
Yeah, you guys. You what was your sex ed like? Everyone knows what mine is now.
What is sex ed to you, in essence?
What is sex ed? Sex ed is learning about sex. But I noticed that in your book. To bring it back, you refer to it as SRE, sex and relationship education.
Which yes, is that's what us in the industry call it.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, like you're welcome. Fully. Lingo.
Great. I just forgot that we kind of need to learn about relationships as well.
Oh yeah, no, but that's like the main part of it. To be honest, it's like you learn about relationships and all of the elements of that, and then when you're like old enough to start thinking about or having sex or wanting to have sex. Or not wanting to have sex, you just apply everything you've learnt to that.
Copy and paste.
Yeah.
Drag and drop, guys.
Really simple. Like, like consent, you can like teach that to 4-year-olds about sharing toys and hugging.
Well, that's the thing as well. So I always think, like, when people say, did you have any sex ed? I'll be like, yes, somebody talked to me about putting a penis into a vagina between the ages of 10 and 17. But does sex ed start before that?
Yes.
And then also, sex is more than penis and vagina. So did I really get sex ed? No.
No. What about you, Lucy? What was yours like?
I had the most generic British sex education. Probably, like, the same as everyone who goes to, like, a state school.
Comp.
Condom on banana.
Yeah, condom on banana.
Contraception.
Scary pictures of STIs.
Yes.
Ooh.
Did you watch the birthing video?
We didn't get to watch the birthing. I think they
did
showed
you get
some
that, Lena?
Classes.
Yes. Yeah, same. Yeah.
I think
I don't
it's kind
want
of
children.
Half and half.
Still. Yeah. 10 years on.
I think like my brain might have erased it because I'm like, yeah!
No.
My mum. Biology live.
My mum never gave me the sex ed chat, but she did make me watch One Born Every Minute. So it depends.
I love it.
It was very, very good as a contraceptive.
Just seeing people live tweet One Born Every Minute was enough for me. I was like, cool.
Have you never seen an episode?
No.
Oh.
I used to watch, there was that. The British version of Teen Mum, like 16 and Pregnant, was that a show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to watch that.
Also, have you seen 16 and Pregnant 10 years on when they're 26?
Oh my God, that's our age.
Some of them are now YouTube stars from it and have huge YouTube channels.
Imagine.
Where they're like still creating revenue from the fact they got pregnant at 16. Amazing.
No, but imagine if we had
amazing
a 10-year-old. That's what that is.
So my best friend growing up has a 10-year-old.
Is
so
this another
tangent?
She got
pregnant when we were 15. And she sat me down and she was like, I'm pregnant. I was like, how are you pregnant? I have not kissed anybody. And I still remember that being my first question. I was like, but how?
Teach me.
But yeah, so my sex education was pretty standard.
Amazing.
Lena, how was yours?
Was yours very Christian?
Yeah. Up until about the age of 21, I was pretty convinced I wasn't going to have sex till I was married. I have definitely had sex. Like, in any other way, I definitely... So I was brought up a Christian, which means of lots of different exciting things. Like, this not to stereotype, but generally it means that you have, like, a crushing embarrassment slash guilt around sex, which is, like, really... It's a ride. But I was given... my mum and dad talked to me on it a bit, but, like, for a very, very long time, I believed that, like... So, basically... I remember there's two people at my church that got pregnant. I mean, like, the woman got pregnant, obviously, but they got pregnant. It's the spirit of it, isn't it? Until you actually get to giving birth, and then it's definitely the woman. I remember being like, Mummy, how did that happen? How? And she was like, they had a special hug. And from after that, I was really scared of hugging people. I was like, how special was this hug? And then I also got given, at some point, I'm sure I'll read it to you on the podcast, but I got given this book by my mum called The Dirt on Sex.
Oh, you've shown us pictures of it.
Oh, man, it has a traffic light on the front. So it's like, green, orange and red. And then inside it explains...
Is it like how much of a slut you are?
Yes. Yeah. God says yes. God says no. God says maybe, but try not to.
So that's basically oral.
Yeah. There is genuinely a chapter called Adam... God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That's genuinely
classic.
Like a serious chapter. And then I remember there's also this thing... So I used to go to loads of, like, Christian camps, which in some ways, like, the genuine... I'm not going to be like, it was... I was... You know, there was lots of really great stuff about it, but the sex education was awful. And one of the times they said, instead of, like, your virginity is like cake... And it's sitting in the fridge. And you know, if you're like trying to be on a diet and you don't want to eat cake, like just don't open the fridge door. Don't look at it. Don't smell it. Don't touch the plate around it.
The amount of analogies I've heard. So like just from making like videos about sex ed and everything, people will often tell me about their sex ed experiences. Mm. So I've heard some horrific ones. There was one where the teacher got an apple and then was like, this is your virginity. And then took a bite out of the apple and was like, this is what happens when you have sex with somebody. And then passed it around the class, got everyone to take a bite out of it. And then had like this leftover core of an apple and then just like threw it being like, is this what you would give to your husband?
I must know, was this before or after the Twilight phenomenon? Because I can't look in the front of Twilight without being like...
But also I think this was an American... And then an American friend of ours had a similar experience where there was like a clear bowl of water and they're like, your virginity again, purity, clearness, and then dropped some ink in it. And obviously it got dirty and they were like, this is what happens when you have sex before marriage. And then they added back loads of water to be like, this is what happened, you know, you're praying and you're being good, but but it will never be fully clear again.
You can't see on the podcast, but our faces are like speechless.
So I just thought I'd share that as context and comparison to doing it by Hannah Witten.
Available now for $7.99 from all good bookshops.
Yes, exactly. And the creator store at the YouTube space.
Can we just talk really briefly before we get on to like the actual itinerary I have? Is like how we read it. So I think...
Oh, yeah. I read it after writing it in a Word document. So I actually haven't read the book in its final form. I've read it as a Word
doc. Do you think
that
would be different for you?
Yeah, because of all the illustrations and everything.
Oh, yeah, and you won't get like the... So certain phrases you've said or written
I've literally
have
just
been
read
pulled
it in
out
a block
and like
of
put
text.
In bold. And there's one bit.
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah.
Something. But, oh, there's a bit where you've written "I love sex," but it's like blown up really big.
Yeah,
and like,
I did a
like,
oh, she just showered it.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I bet you she wrote in the manuscript. Open brackets, make this really big.
I think I probably just put it in all caps, but a lot of that stuff is what the designer like took her initiative and like pulled stuff out. But the whole layout of the book, I got to see like the whole thing and basically go through page by page and approve everything or change stuff, which is kind of cool.
That's really cool.
To have that control.
I feel like you've had a really great publishing experience.
I have. It's been amazing.
That's amazing.
I have to say that because some of them are here.
No, genuinely. No, but yeah, yeah. Heard Hannah complained about it. And I've like trolled her for it because I work in publishing. I'm like, Hannah, are you okay? Did they treat you well?
They treat me great. They got me cake.
Yeah, it's like I feel like I'm a dad, and like she's been on a date and she's come home and it's like, Hannah, how was it? Did he buy you ice cream?
How did you guys read it then? I already know this, but just for the listeners,
I read the proof copy. Was it a proof copy?
Yeah, I
read the proof copy. In a book. It was a book. I don't know how much of it, like, if there were any extra bits or if I missed anything or there were a couple of typos, but, like, everything was, yeah, just the book.
It's mostly the same.
Did you add anything?
I don't think. Like, I think some stuff might have changed, like, in terms of, like, the layout and the number of pages, so, like, that kind of thing might have changed.
But not too much.
One of the diagrams was going to be taken out, and I fought so hard.
Can I ask which diagram?
It was the internal female reproductive diagram.
What, the clitoris one?
No, the
did you
uterus
draw it from
and
your
fallopian
own
tube. Yeah. Yeah, I no.
Did you like sit in a mirror and be like, okay? And then you just scanned
it
and sent it to the publisher. In my head, that
no, I sat in the Hachette offices drawing vulvas and penises.
It's just like, pull your pants down. What is Hannah doing? It's for the book.
But yeah, so that diagram of like the uterus and fallopian tubes and all of that stuff, my editor was just like, we're really sorry, we have to take that out. And I was just like, no! Absolutely not. It has to stay. If there's any way that
Author
it can
Zilla
stay,
appears.
It needs to stay. And I was like so upset about it. And then I thought it was going to have to go. I thought like there was no way that like logistically it could fit in because they needed like page room or whatever. And then she texted me, like, literally the day it was going to print. And they're like, oh, by the way, we managed to fit in.
We have passed and the fallopian tubes. They have been passed.
So they're in. You're welcome.
See, I read the audiobook.
You read the audiobook?
I listened to the audiobook.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but after you've listened to an audiobook, right, you just get to say you've read it, right?
Yeah.
You don't...
How was that? Because I read the audiobook. No,
I actively chose not to listen to the audiobook because I'd just been on tour with you doing the book.
Like, I'm
sick of you.
And, like, there's a certain level of friendship where, to be totally honest, Hannah, I adore you, but I don't want you to serenade me to sleep. Like, there's...
Do you not want to... hear me talk about how I discovered masturbation in your ear.
I think you should have recorded an ASMR version and sort of like 100 pounds. Like,
that is a Patreon.
Well, you don't know what went down in the studio. I was like, I need a new job in like reading erotica.
You could have done an audio tour of a vagina. Just like tapping around it.
Oh my goodness.
What?
That
you make
be
them
a
sound cavernous.
Sorry, this is inevitably going to turn into us bullying.
Okay, Lena, so how did you find reading the audio, listening to the audio?
Oh my God, it was so relaxing. I don't even know. I don't know, maybe I'm...
Really? Are you an
maybe
ASMR
I've got a weird
person?
Attachment to Hannah, but like, I was just like, I don't know, I was really zen.
Did you masturbate to it?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
So I've just had a thought, right? So basically, like, I feel like we'll talk about this later, but like, how you talk to your friends about sex when you grow up. And I feel like you talk to them more in your 20s, and maybe more than any generation ever has, because you I'm always going to be sharing a flat with other people. Like,
yeah,
always.
Definitely.
The housing crisis means that, like, actually sex is going to be talked about more. And, like, every time everyone I've ever moved in with, right, we've done a sound test where, like, you go into the other person's room and you jump on their bed, and then they have to stand in your room and tell you whether they can hear you jumping on their bed. Does anybody ever do that?
I've never done that.
I lived with eight people at uni and we individually did it with everybody's rooms. It's so fascinating.
Oh, see, I lived with no sex before marriage Christians at uni. Ooh. So I was having sex for the whole house.
I'm sorry, I couldn't have been that for you.
On behalf of.
Me. Yeah. I was like, don't worry, guys, I got this.
Anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, my experience with the audiobook was great. I recommend you guys read it. Yeah, I don't know. And also, like, so there's no diagrams. So the funniest
thing is
Hannah goes off the book and tries to describe vagina diagrams to you in a really awkward way. But, like, it's fluid, it's nice, but it's funny because I know it's, like, not in the book. Yeah. So, extras.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about, Hannah, was it wasn't just you who wrote this book, was it? But not in a Zoella way.
You need to cut that.
No. Do you know what? I believe Zoella wrote that. That's not the point. You know what I mean?
Oh,
no. As in, like, if I was the sun. I actually do believe she wrote that book, and anyone could come at me for that. Don't even get me.
Lena, you're digging. Stop it.
I've heard a rant on this podcast about, like, how Zoella definitely wrote her book. Anyway, I watched Hannah write this book. And we got DMs. So many DMs. So anyway, but it wasn't just you, there was it, Hannah?
No, I had guest contributors. I think about 15, I think, of them. Some of them are here.
Woo!
Yeah! Woo! Thank you, guys.
Go and fangirl over them later.
Yeah, they're amazing. Rowan is here, Callum and Rowley. Am I missing anyone wrote in the book?
Can you wave?
Michelle's here. Hello. Yes.
Hey.
There we go.
Talk us through the process of deciding to include, because obviously a publishing deal happens and you write Hannah Witten on the line and it's like, cool, I'm writing a book now. Talk us through the process of being like, actually, I can't, I need other people.
I think I knew from the beginning, to be honest, because I knew I wanted, I wanted to cover LGBT. And then I was like, I can't talk on that. I can give a basic overview, but that's not going to help anybody. I just thought that's not going to be a massive, that will be useful to people who literally know nothing. But I wanted it to be useful to young LGBT people and friends of theirs and family members of theirs and just anyone that wants to get themselves a bit more educated on sex
and
relationships.
That's a really good point, actually, for the friends and family side of things. I didn't think of that, but that's really cool.
Super important. So that was kind of where I started in terms of I'm definitely going to need guest contributors for this who can speak from personal experience. And then it kind of went from there where I just was like, oh, I just know people that have got really cool insight into this. And
you've been doing some background research for a long time. It's called friendship.
It's called friendship. Yeah, you do. Been talking to people and meeting people. So it was the kind of criteria was either experience or just your personal life identity, orientation, whatever it is, that isn't like me. So you can talk from that, or an expertise that I don't have. So that's where Erica Lust comes in, who's the feminist porn director, and Kate Parker, who's the criminal barrister.
I loved her. Can I just say, some feedback
She's amazing.
When Hannah was I'm getting other people to contribute to the book, I was brilliant. I kind of had some ideas of the kind of experiences that you have. Did not realise you'd have somebody with a legal an actual certificate in it. And I was it was actually the lawyer that was the most enlightening for me. That's the most. One thing that you don't get from YouTube education about sex is actual professional lawyers. Yeah. Where are the lawyers on YouTube? Well, they probably can't.
But they can't. That's the thing. Giving free legal advice is so dodge. So having Kate, she wrote two sections for the book. One on consent and the law. So actual legal definitions of rape and of consent and how things realistically would play out in a courtroom or in the eyes of the law, and then sexting in the law, which is also another really weird area where the law hasn't caught up with modern technology. So there's this disconnect between people's actual behavior and what the law says. So
that was really fascinating.
There's thousands of 17-year-olds who are just constantly breaking the law. And it's great, I think, how Kate just kind of goes, yes, the law is ridiculous, but this is what it is.
One of the sections that I want to talk about, which I think we can talk about now, actually, is the things we learned from the book. So in some ways, right, so people give you sex ed in school and in formal settings to teach you about sex ed. So it's right, here are the facts. Turns out, plot twist, not the facts, but whatever. The other way is that you're not advised to do is learn from your friends. Do you know what I mean? You're supposed to talk about it and be social, but not learn from your friends. But what was weird
about...
We
are the epitome of that, because we literally created a book club off it.
So want to learn more about sex. Let's read books about it and talk about it. I've learned so much from Banging Book Club.
Oh, I've learned so much. This has been my sexual renaissance in terms of education.
I still talk about vagina. Did anybody read that?
Yeah.
Is anybody else's copy really fucking grubby?
I always talk
Why
about
would you print it in white?
Dirty vagina.
I know. Yeah, no, I wanted to talk, this is probably going to be more me and Lucy than you, Hannah. Talking
I'll
about
listen, it'll be great.
What we learned from the book.
Yeah, I've got a little list.
Me too.
Because I actually haven't talked to you guys about it, because we're save it for the podcast.
So what's weird, right, about being friends with Hannah and Lucy is that obviously I was friends with you guys before this, but having a podcast where we talk about sex brings about so much time and space and context to learn stuff from you, and not like about your own experiences, but also just like I feel like we have this really patchwork understanding of the world.
Wait, like, what do you mean?
As in like Ollie, your experience and your experience might be different to my experience, and we might not if we'd have just gone out for some cocktails, we might not have. They might not have come up.
Yeah,
mocktails maybe.
Oh well.
We mock each other constantly on this podcast as well. It's something you're missing as well.
How far in are we? We're half an hour in and we've yet to tease me about the fact that I finished the book.
Oh yeah!
Hey!
Lucy finished the book. She I sent her so it. Many gifts.
Yeah.
Hannah sent her a gift like with a gif of like a woman throwing a book at somebody.
Read the book.
But Lucy's did, on a though. Roll. She's finished like all the books recently.
You
like
finished two. The last three.
Her yeah, la- is blowing
yeah, I
up.
Finished the last three. Now that my life's calmed down a little
yeah,
bit, it's
cool.
happening.
It's good you're being a member of a book club.
Really like
lubricated
your literary experience. So, do you want to do like one on one, like what we learned?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Let's do it.
Okay.
For me, it's little things. So when we go through the books, I think it was Lena that started doing this, like folds down the bottom of the pages so she can kind of go back and find the interesting bits and you kind of highlight and stuff. Mm. I don't highlight, but I've now doing the like folding the corners. So I went back through. The concept of aesthetic attraction was discussed by, I've completely forgotten
Amelia.
Her name. The asexual contributor. And I was like, that is exactly how I feel about women. I now have a word for it. Because
that's how I feel about your Instagram.
Oh my God. Hannah.
I'm aesthetically attracted.
Guys, I'll just. But like, I did not realize there was kind of a mid-ground of like, I just look at women, I'm like, I want to be you. Like, I don't look at women and I'm like, I want to get in your pants.
I want to be in you.
There's a word that Ash Hardell uses as well. I'm not sure where it comes from, but I heard it from her. Squish. Yeah, that's like a crush, but like a romantic crush or like a not, but not a sexual crush, right? Yeah.
That's really cute.
Like, I've got a squish on them. Like, oh, squish.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the
sounds
concept.
Like
I might not have defined that properly, but.
Yeah. Well, it's just the concept of like, yeah, within asexuality as a concept, there's the idea of aesthetic attraction. I was like, I feel that. That's great. Anyway.
Isn't it so fun when you find a word for something and you're like, that's me!
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. Language is good. Actually, that feeds into one of my points that were, like I wanted to say was like, I like that you recognised your thin privilege hashtag. Hashtag thin.
I don't remember doing that.
Please,
you fucking did.
I'll recognise it now. I have thin privilege.
There were a lot of bits where you were like, you feel this way, love yourself, feel empowered. But also I totally understand that that's nearly impossible in a lot of cases. Like, I like that there was
good
a recognition. Yeah. The honesty in it.
Good luck out there, guys. With her big boobs.
Sorry.
Actually, Hannah talks to me about her big boobs more. I'm like, don't want those. Really stressful, sounds like.
My tits hurt for a good 12 days of my cycle. And they get bigger and heavier. And it's just not a good time.
Not about my life.
I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that.
I've got some feedback about these chairs. I scrape. What the fuck is happening?
Okay, podcast listeners, these are basically like director style chairs. Lena's been sat in it for a good half an hour and she just stood up and the chair came with her.
It's so like. Anyway, it's snug in here.
It's
anyway.
Designed for male directors with skinny little hips.
I'm definitely checking my thin privilege right now.
So I just lifted a chair with my hips. Next thing, I wanted to talk about like this idea of compliments as well, because I think like it's good. So I felt like that obviously every, like when I think about topics you would cover, I'd be like, okay, you're going to cover rape. You're going to cover contraception. You're going to cover, like, virginity and what
STIs.
That is. You're going to cover STIs. Did not realize you were going to cover compliments. And when you were like, this is the, like, compliments and self-confidence section, I thought you were just... I didn't. But, like, in my head, like, my preconceptions about sections in books like that are like, love yourself, everything's great. But actually, it was more like, learn to contextualize what you think worth is, and also it's okay to accept compliments and need them from other people. And I was like,
yeah,
you.
I love compliments.
Because
who likes compliments?
Yeah.
Who would like a compliment?
Okay.
You, stand up. Hello. What's your name?
Katie.
I love your outfit, and when I met you earlier, you were very cheery, and your eyeliner is on fleek.
There we go.
You look like your hair is really soft, but I would only touch it with your permission. because I've also read the consent chapter.
Who else wants a compliment? Go on, Lucy, you pick someone.
Ooh, who do I pick?
This is very exciting. Lovely person.
I really like your
I said
jumper.
Lucy pick someone.
Yeah, Lena. Yeah.
I'm really a type like 7, jumper, I'm sorry.
And I like your septum piercing. Is it real?
It is real.
It's nice.
Did it hurt?
Also, ooh, your jumper is amazing.
Other things we learned from the book. Okay, yeah. Other things I learned. I really like this phrase that I think the person you interviewed about feminist porn said.
Because
like most porn starts with an erection and ends with ejaculation.
Yeah, I think I said that.
I think I said that.
I feel like I wrote that.
Take it.
I might have written that. I think I did.
Yeah, I really like that. And all of the porn sections. So also, the concept of arousal addiction is different from porn addiction.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that.
And also, there's a society called the NoFap community.
If you're struggling with either porn or arousal
on Reddit, addiction. Yeah. So you can go find it and like join
it
if
you're
interested.
I love that name. I'm behind the name and the movement, but the name. Excellent branding for your movement.
I wonder if it's like r/nofap.
Maybe.
Anyway, this, right.
Yeah, it's on Reddit.
Okay, yeah.
It must be true. Hannah, how did you research this deeply meaningful book? Reddit. Yeah. Lucy, what else did you learn?
What else did I learn? I've like jumbled it all. Wait.
It's cool. Is it all about Hannah's sex life?
Don't worry, we can cut this.
No, I love that there was a whole page on power imbalance when it comes to consent, because I think that's completely underplayed, but because we all have the experience of having watched what happened in the YouTube community, which if you don't know and you're a listener at the podcast or if you're in the audience, you can go and just Google it. But we had all these experiences with trying to explain to lots of younger viewers how consent works, and we had to address power imbalance, but no one ever wrote about it.
Yeah, especially just the power imbalance in terms of like someone you idolize and like celebrities and fans
and even
and
teachers
like
and like yeah. And bosses. Like there's so many ways and just age even in like certain contexts. Mm-hmm. And that's never really discussed. And I was really glad to see like there's literally a whole page of just like basically be careful.
Examples.
Yeah. Like for the example I always use is like I can never have sex with Drake. Like, I'm fully aware. That will
never
happen.
I could never have sex with Bo Burnham as much as, like, I would.
Do you mean could or would?
No, but, like, the power imbalance is too strong.
Yeah.
I love that man. Like, I couldn't. It's immoral.
Do you think that he'd do the same move on you all the time and then be like, repeat stuff, repeat stuff, repeat stuff?
Oh, goodness.
I would love it.
Sorry, this was a massive distraction.
Sorry.
What else is on my list? Oh, and I learned lots about deaf sex.
I thought you said death sex.
No, no, deaf
with an yeah. F,
because of
Ricky's bit.
Ricky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was really, really interesting because it's all the stuff that you wish you could ask but you never will, mm-hmm. kind of.
Yeah, like
of
how
it.
To consent in the dark, or if you can't see very yeah. well, or like, yeah.
Yeah, the holding up of the condom packet thing,
and also like, the fact that that should be included in all sex ed because it's not just deaf people who will have sex. It's like I might want to have sex with somebody who's deaf.
Yeah.
Like, why don't I need to, well, I need that information too.
Yeah, for exactly. sure.
It's like we're not educating people to be attracted to people who aren't, in inverted commas, able.
Yeah.
Like, really, anyway, not cool government.
If you're interested in that topic, you should listen to our last mini-sode, which was all about disability and sex.
Yeah.
So also, I wanted to bring up the fact that Hannah thought she had a penis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For a very long time.
There were so many little anecdotes that I was like, I can relate.
I forgot I wrote about
Salavia,
that.
Hannah.
Yeah, also, how did you think it was? Was it your...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flavia Majora.
Oh.
Majora, Menorah.
Was not with your penis. Like, how long did you think you had it?
Well, because it was like a lip.
Yeah, it was.
it wasn't even straight on.
I think it was one of my inner lips, because I've got one bigger than the other.
Oh. Me too!
Yeah.
Which side is yours? Maybe we make up a whole long vagina.
Oh, I don't know. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was one of them. Well, I'd never been taught it before. I'd never looked at my vulva in the mirror before. Literally, all I watched was age 10, saw a documentary on TV about people who were intersex and had ambiguous genitalia. First time ever I felt around there and then was just like, oh my God, I've got a penis.
And then you were like, move on. Tuck it in. Mine was kind of like just sweep it under the carpet, quite literally, just like tuck it in. Go away.
I do that all the time.
Just like gone, under the rug.
This is where my prude side is like, I'm done.
What's your labia like, Lucy?
Let me give you an in-depth description. No,
labias with Lucy.
That's my next
new
YouTube
segment.
Series.
It could be like Drunk Advice, but...
Labias with
not.
Lucy.
More viral.
I can't wait. Hub.
I'll be your first guest.
Thanks,
Anne. This isn't the most intelligent observation, but I just wanted to...
What, and this all?
Just going to juxtapose our really intellectual conversation with something completely vapid. So, like, you were talking about implants, right? And I was feeling like... Because I want to look for some different contraception. So I was, like, literally listening to this part, like, no. Or maybe. And, like, just ticking them off. And then you got to, like, implants, and you talked about implants being, like, a long activity... long activity reversible contraception or lark. And I was like, lark. It's just a lark. It made it sound so fun. So I might get one of those now because it just sounds like a lark. that's all I
just let me know how that goes. You included a lot of contraception that I associate with not being available in England or is like discouraged in England, but is widely available in America.
Like because, which ones?
The ring.
A friend
like
of
that.
Mine has the ring.
Really? Because the only reason I knew it existed was from talking
ring.
To Arden.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason I knew half of the contraception in the book existed was because Arden's used it, and then I've used a bunch of stuff as well, and we had this whole discussion one time over coffee where we were like, sorry, Arden, if you ever know this.
She's dead?
No, this is me talking to the podcast.
I think when she's so famous, she's up there.
But yeah, because I didn't know like any of this stuff was
available. The thing is
that,
like,
we're not taught about it.
You go to the doctors being like, I want to go on the pill because the pill's the only one you've heard of. And then they don't offer you any alternatives. And even if you go to your GP and be like, I need some contraception, they'll just straight away put you on the pill, like, unless you have already done your research and specifically asked.
I don't think they do that anymore. All the doctors, there was a definite change in my contraceptive like access when, because I'm on a pill that loads of doctors disapprove of. So every time I go, it's called Yasmin.
But you walk past the doctor, did they go?
Yeah, they shake their head at me. No, but I've had so many doctors be like, is there anything else we can try with you? Is there anything else? And then they only list, they'll always give other options to the pill. Always now, but they'll be like implant, injection, the coil. That's like it.
I didn't know about the injection, or maybe I just forgotten.
I knew about
That sounds
yeah. The injection was widely available.
Goes in your bum,
yeah,
or your arm,
and it's every 3 months, right?
Ish. I don't remember. I wrote the book. I don't remember.
Anyway,
every 3 months.
So I thought it was cool about your GP how says. Many different kinds of contraception were covered. Even doctors don't tell me about them.
Yes. So have you guys got more things that you've learned? Or should we move on to my pop quiz?
We should, because probably time-wise...
I have a note that says circumcision versus FGM, and then I realised that I put FMG. And then I put lol. Because it sounds like OMG, and I got it confused.
Let's not lol about that.
Ask questions.
Okay, so I've written a pop quiz for Lena and Lucy.
I forgot this was for us. I thought this was for the audience.
No, this is for you guys, of how much you paid attention to my book. This is a who's the better friend quiz.
I can't wait.
Oh, I'm joking.
Do I have an advantage because I went on tour?
One of the questions you might like remember the answer to more than Lena.
Okay. Recognize your tour privilege, Lucy.
Yeah,
I was in an office with strobe lights, okay, looking at many people like me.
And it's actually the first question I wrote down, which is, what underwear was I wearing when I lost my virginity?
Oh, shit.
It was embarrassing. No, it was Tammy. No, it wasn't. It was a character.
Yeah. Do they have little teddy? Is it teddy bear underwear?
No, it's like... Anyone else? Roundabout, it was really bad.
Stripey boy short pants?
Yes!
There we go.
Red and white stripey Primark boy shorts.
Oh, I do have some memory.
There we go. How many nerve
endings... Do you still have them?
No.
Oh.
They're like...
You're sentimental. I don't know if you kept them.
They're 9 years old.
Do you throw away everything that isn't more than 9 years old?
Underwear. Anyway, I don't want to ask what your drawer's full of. How many nerve endings does the clitoris have?
8,000?
Ding, 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 ding.
Really?
Yeah.
Click Maybe queen. This shows how recently I read the book.
recently all 8,000 of them have been stimulated at once.
We're like, that's 7,888! Keep going.
Sorry.
I'm getting the prude look.
Okay, so we were just talking about this. How many methods of contraception are there? Can you name all of them?
Abstinence.
There is one, and that is it.
That was just my automatic one.
Wait, can we name collectively? Fuck. Can we name all of them? Or is this independent?
Teamwork.
How competitive is Lena?
Teamwork.
Condoms, the pill.
Oh, the injection.
Progesterone only, and or nah. Okay.
Okay.
Coil. The copper coil and the IU other one.
IUD.
The IUD is the copper.
Oh, the patch.
Pirate. Going pirate.
The ring.
We're like sex and we're like, are you covered up? I'm like, I've got the pirate. I'm patched. I don't know.
I just realised that I don't have my book with me to
oh, no.
Check.
Eight? We're an eight.
I'm going to go with 11.
What are you going to go with?
Is the morning after pill, yeah.
No, morning after pill is emergency contraception, Lena. Emergencies only. Did you not read the book? Or listen to it.
I'm having echoes because I've been told that a few times from nurses. Emergencies only! Oh, sorry, it's not funny. Okay, carry on. Nine. We on nine?
I'm going to say 11.
11.
Wait, who's right?
There's 14.
Oh.
So you've got the external condoms and internal condoms. So there's two types
Femidoms.
Of condoms. Yeah. That's the internal condom.
Yeah.
Male sterilization, female sterilization.
Oh, yeah.
They count. Big stream, but
that's pretty permanent.
And expensive. I looked it up.
Really?
Yeah, really expensive.
Crazy. And then IUD and IUS.
I thought you could get that on the NHS.
I don't know if you can.
You
have to be like, I really hate children. No, I think I would actually like, I'd really fuck up a child if I had, like, no, really.
You need to write a doing it too once you've had kids.
Oh, God.
That's where I see this guy.
Yep. Anyway, so there's 14.
Okay.
Can't remember all of them off the top of my head, but you got most of them. It's cool.
I'm not keeping score, but I'm pretty sure you're winning.
What is my gran called?
Nuddy?
Nudie, but yes.
Oh.
Nude.
I call her Nuddy.
If you listened to the audiobook, you'd have heard me pronounce it.
Nudie.
Was she the one that came along to the first show?
No, that was Granny Fanny.
Oh, yes, that was Granny Fanny.
How could we have confused them?
Yeah.
Next question.
How long was I single for?
Six years. Oh, bollocks.
Well, okay, it was technically like 5.5 years. And because obviously...
Yeah, but would you say it's more than 6 months? Like, is it 5.6, 5.7?
It was probably close.
Would you round it up or down?
It was closer to six.
Then Lena.
But you
said six.
Yeah. If I had been still single when the book was released, then it would have been 6 years because April 2011 was when that breakup happened.
Ooh.
So it's fine.
Some moment of silence.
What did I dress up as for Halloween last year?
Oh,
a witch.
Ego girl.
Ego girl. I did dress up, but in the book, I...
11 off 11 Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, yeah. Because in the book, there's a little thing about how I dressed up as 11 and
yeah,
I
because
made
you
out
do
with
all
my
the, But this Halloween, you dressed up as a witch and then you burnt Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Yeah, that was... That
famously
was
on a
on
roof.
Your
that was the
flammable
other night.
I thought I was like, I'm going to recycle this book and I'm going to put it on Instagram. I was going to find it hilarious. I was like, you burnt it.
I was a feminist witch for,
you absolutely
for Halloween. It was fine.
Did Lauren join in or did she?
No, she shunned me.
Okay.
She was like, she doesn't let me have matches anymore. She's like, no. Okay. Where does semen come from? There's three different...
Cornwall.
Three different...
Devon.
There's when three different parts in the anatomy where it comes
oh,
from.
So something like 80% of it's from like the seminal gland or something. And then there's like 10% from the testes. And then 10% from somewhere else.
So, Lena, do you want to have a go? Or are you... You're really close though. That's
what's
really
the other
good.
Bit? It was what's all the from the balls. Bit?
Okay, so sperm comes from the balls.
That went over my head, way. Oh yeah, it's the other like fluid.
Yeah, so stuff. Sperm comes from the testes.
But then what's the other?
Seminal
the other?
Vesicle.
Prostate.
Yeah.
It tastes different.
Well,
what?
It all comes out together.
Have a lot of questions.
It all gets mixed together and makes semen. Sperm is part of semen.
Yeah, it's not like you're getting different.
The rest of the semen is what keeps the sperm alive.
But then maybe actually I don't. I was has any. What? Has anyone ever taken the moon cup out and had a look at it?
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
seen what's in it? And how
that's
it's all different kind of things that like separate. And
it's like
you get
the blood, the mucus.
Yeah. So maybe it's like that. Maybe if you left it to sit.
Or maybe it would separate. Put it in a Petri dish.
Okay.
Like salad dressing.
Yeah. Oh. I love it. Where are the typos? But I just realised this is about, because Lucy has the proof and Lena didn't.
You didn't stutter during the audio.
Yes, because I did retakes.
I know that in Callum's contribution.
Oh, there's one in Callum.
That
might just be the proof copy. I don't know. I'm in the actual copy. I have been made aware of two typos. And I know you guys are being really nice, tweeting me pictures of the typos, but I really do not want to know. This is like the reason why I haven't read the book, because I know that there will be typos in it.
She's Hermione, give her some space.
And
she
I'm
likes
just like,
accuracy.
thanks for telling me all the time. That's why I don't like your tweets. but I can tell you that three is written as tree on page 243.
Devastating.
That's a really unfortunate one.
Absolutely devastating.
and there is a sentence that has two is in it instead of one on page 11. That's
great.
What I've been made aware of.
Shame it's page 11.
If I know. But if you spot any more typos, keep it to yourself.
Or tweet it at us, because then we can tell the publisher and they can correct it for the second edition.
Oh, yeah. Second edition.
Just like crowdsource that editing. Just don't show Hannah.
Yeah, just don't show
them
me.
Tweet them to me and I'll just pass it. Don't worry about it.
Final question. What is the most common STI amongst young people?
Chlamydia.
Syphilis.
Oh, chlamydia, yeah.
I said that with a bit too much
syphilis.
Like conviction.
Syphilis is on the rise, though. Anyway, I think Lucy won that, but who's the real winner? It's me, because I wrote a book. okay.
On that note.
Questions.
Audience Q&A.
Yep.
We have a roaming mic. Please put your hand up if you have a question, and then she will come to you. You pick. You just pick
the
someone.
The pressure's too much for us.
And they can be questions about anything Banging Book Club, book related.
Cool.
Any, right,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, God.
Cool. Hello.
Hello.
What's your name?
Oh, sorry. I'm Ethan.
Where'd you come from?
That's a good question.
Oh, that's a complicated question. It's political climate.
Well,
where
technically,
is your spiritual home?
My spiritual home is the British Film Institute, but actually,
ooh.
I'm from Northampton. I'm a film student, can't you tell? Anyway, it's two questions. Mm. One related to, now obviously, it's a bit stupid to say it is the Banging Book Club, naturally, but I was wondering at a later date, may you expand to look at certain films and their attitudes towards sex and sexuality? Mm. There's a sort of a, especially in sort of foreign film, there's a long history of sort of different attitudes towards sex, especially in French films, and I was wondering if that was a thing. And also, you mentioned it when you were talking about what you wanted to include, what you were upset that you didn't include in your book, or you wished you could have included, and one of them was to do with mental health. Mm-hmm. Having been in a relationship where my mental health was certainly a bit of a tipping point at parts, I was wondering, would there be if there was an extended edition, or a director's cut, if you wish, would there be sections dealing with mental health in relation to sex and indeed consent as well?
Sure. So the second question, yes, absolutely. If I were to write like a second edition or another version or in a future book that was about sex and relationships again, then yeah, I definitely want to cover mental health and have like guest contributors who can speak on that in terms of like... mental health within relationships. The first question about films, we are planning on like doing film reviews as part of mini-sodes, but for now we're just kind of doing it relating to if there's a film version of a book we read.
Yeah,
that's
so
kind of
we
where we're
like
starting.
50 Shades of Grey, didn't we?
And we've got Carol coming up, haven't we?
Yeah,
in December.
Minisodes are a like the Wild West, basically. Like if you guys want to just like be like, we want this as a minisode, I'll be like, can do.
Yeah, exactly.
But we can review them. I think like for me, like I'm like I love films and I love documentaries, but what's interesting to me about books is they don't need that much funding to get going. So arguably you can find some really interesting like ideas in books that haven't been funded by like to employ, because at the end of the day, like a book takes one person to write. Well, maybe one person to edit, some people to publicize, maybe not. And that it can still exist. Whereas a film needs a lot more funding. So like in my mind as like the book person, I'm like, it's much more interesting. I think you have a bigger pool of things to pick from, especially when we're talking about like trying to include different experiences and things that aren't like seen to make money. Sometimes you can find stuff like, I don't know, Purple's quite interesting to read. Juliet Takes a Breath, we're going to read later in the year, which I'm really excited about. And they're all stuff that I'm like, would that have got funding to be a film or a TV show? Like, probably not.
And also, our expertise lies in books, especially Lena's, because she works in publishing or has worked in publishing. Does work? No.
Yeah, I do.
A bit.
Yeah. I sold some books today.
There we go.
There we go.
I've
any
got other
an
questions?
English degree in it.
Yeah. Where's the microphone gone?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Charlie Braids from East London, long-time listener, first-time caller. First of all, congratulations on an amazing book. It was really fun to read. I was reading it on the tube, and a lady sat down next to me and started reading over my shoulder, and she was probably about 80.
Brilliant.
And she was like, the thing about sex is they don't tell you about the STIs, or STDs, she said. And I said, no, that's the thing they do tell you about. They don't tell you about the other fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if you had any feedback from older readers, because it was interesting to have that interaction with her with the book.
Oh, wow. Yeah, good question. Most of the older readers that I have had feedback from are either my own family or parents. And so far, it's been good. Like,
were they like, I didn't read it, Hannah?
Yeah, my mum, like, is kind of, I've said to her, like, I will go through the book and highlight bits that you can read and bits that you can't read.
I was going to say, but having met now, I've met your mum, dad, sister and your nan.
Yeah.
And various family friends.
Yeah.
On our escapades across the country. They're all really open-minded. They're all like,
I think
if you can imagine the sort of people that could have produced Hannah, like they are those people.
I think they're all really open-minded in general, but I also think my mum doesn't want to hear about her daughter's sex life.
That's very true.
So like,
she would have been such an innocent child. Think of her as a child. Oh.
Yeah, because you know, like your parents still think of you as a baby.
I bet they really love her.
Oh, I don't like thinking. Yeah. No, I've just gone on a tangent of my parents learning about my sex life. Yeah. So.
But yeah. I've had a lot of parents get in touch and say that they've gotten the book either to like give to their teenage children, or they've got younger children and they're going to read it and like wait until they've grown up a bit and then like hand it to them, which is kind of cool. I'm into it.
I like that.
Another question. I want to get through as like many as possible.
Oh, you have the mic.
Hey.
Hello.
Name's Tom. Hearing your experience with writing the book, it seems like there's a lot of, like, with any creative process, there's, like, good moments and there's bad moments. And I wanted to know, like, what was the most... What pissed you off the most about writing a book?
Oh.
And what was the best experience in writing a book?
Okay. Two bits that pissed me off the most whilst writing the book. One was getting dumped. That was just, I was like, really? Bad timing. But then it made for a great chapter on breakups.
And also, you get to follow it through. So is it the conclusion? In the
conclusion, yeah.
We hear, but having heard it from you already, being able to read it and being like, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember the DMs of like, him. Oh my God, guys, I'm supposed to be writing a book.
Yeah. And like going over to yours the next day and you were like, yeah, I'm fine. Been crying for like 3 hours, but I'm good. I'm fine. Yeah, so that pissed me off. And the other bit about like writing it that pissed me off was probably the contraception section, just because I am a very like big picture kind of person and details really get me down. And I knew that it was important to have all 14 types of them in there, but God damn it, I hate tables. And I had to put it all in a table to like make it coherent and be like, this is the name of it. This is how it works. This is how often you take it. Here are some pros and cons. Obviously really important stuff to know, but oh God, I just like hated making that. And formatting a table in Word, how? Don't have
audio
to do
that. Book was painless. Yeah, just read them out. I didn't know what was coming next. It was like a little like ride.
And then best part about writing it was probably like reliving loads of experiences from my adolescence, because I feel like they kind of get in the back of your mind a bit. And then as soon as I started writing them, I was like, oh my God, it's all coming back. And remember that and remember that. And it's crazy how much your brain remembers details that just... like, they're still there, like, tucked away.
And sex details as well. I would have thought, like, my brain's, like, muted a lot of, like, like prior...
Tucked it behind the flaps.
Yeah, if you want to use that metaphor.
I love making Lucy cringe. It's my favourite thing.
And you get to see me visually do it as well on the stage. Like, great.
Amazing. Another question.
I'm fine.
You're okay.
I just hit myself in the microphone and my teeth. It's chill.
Someone was
going to
do
I'm a really
it.
Big professional live speaker.
Hi.
Hello.
I was wondering what advice you'd give to someone who wants to kind of go into sex and relationship advice giving stuff.
Ooh, good question. I would say consume as much information as possible from wherever you can get it. So online, in books, TV, film.
I want to make a joke about like all the information, like, from experience and shit.
Is there something there?
But good question. Hannah, do you think that you have to have loads of sex to write a book about sex?
No.
Fair.
No, definitely
not. Because I think
not.
That's the thing that, like, I wouldn't be able to write. I'm not.
Well, yeah. Actually, there was, I remember, like, the first ever VidCon I went to when I was 20 years old and had just started making videos about sex ed. And I met this guy in, like, the bar of the hotel, and he, you know, it's the classic, like, oh, what do you do? Like, how many subscribers do you have? Blah. And I was like, oh, I make sex ed videos. And he was like, oh, really? How many people have you slept with then? And I was just like, excuse me. And he was just like, oh, well, why do you think you can
You're
be talking
back
about
all
sex?
Of my really rude VidCon experiences.
And then he was just like, well, I've slept with over 100 women, so I feel like I've got all the experience.
Do we know this
and
guy?
I was just like,
we've all met this guy.
And so I was just like, that doesn't make you qualified. If anything, you have, like, a bad
Is he a YouTuber?
Attitude. I don't remember who it was.
God,
like, I don't know.
What a prick.
But, so you don't have to have loads of sex, because clearly he's going about it the wrong way. I would not, like, trust him to teach sex ed. But, yeah, I just kind of, like, start with your friends and family. And like
not with the sex
with the giving advice bit, with the giving advice, and like whatever platform you feel comfortable with, like start a blog, start a YouTube channel,
Instagram. We
yeah,
need a sex
whatever
Instagram.
It is
my face.
Oh, it's got Bebo,
Life Journal,
all of the places. And then like once you get to like sick form or uni, if that's something that you want to do, then there's loads of like clubs and societies that do stuff like that. There's Sexpression, which is a student-run charity where students go into secondary schools and teach sex ed, which would be really cool.
That society at your uni?
That's really cool.
It's UK-wide.
I don't know.
Yeah, SOAS did not have that.
Ah, mate, Birmingham did. Or like take specific modules in it. I don't know. There's loads of places. I think there's no like one way to do it, basically. Doing it. Another question.
Hi, I'm Clara. I'm from the West Country.
Hello.
Hello.
I was wondering, with all the budget cuts and sort of issues with in schools with funding, what would be your sort of key points and recommendations if you were to sort of upgrade sex and relationship education sort of within the confines of sort of the current climate?
Put Hannah's book in every school.
Yeah. I hate that question because my answer always is something that requires money. And you're like, but within the constraints, like, no, don't constrain me.
One, why the fuck are the constraints there as well?
Budgets.
I'm like, allocate us, fund, allocate, you know.
Yeah.
It's also like fighting for the funding before being like, okay, you only gave us this much funding, we'll try and, why?
Yeah. I think, so if there is the funding there, what I think is important is getting in trained specialists, because you can't rely on the current staff that you have. You know, they might not feel comfortable giving sex ed classes. It's always best to get in someone who is trained in it.
Also, they need to be able to answer questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we always had supply teachers. They can't.
But obviously, not all schools have the money for that. Like, most of them don't. And it will be your, like, maths or geography teacher giving you sex ed. And they might be like, you might ask them, how many nerve endings does a clitoris have? And then we're like, I don't know, you know? Like,
what's a clitoris?
Also, at my school, most of my teachers were homophobic, so we had to get a special teacher who wasn't homophobic to come and teach the gay lesson. Not kidding. And he was like, known as the person
at least
who was
you
like,
got
you
had
gay.
Yeah,
he
I was
does the gay
say.
Lesson because he doesn't think it's wrong.
See, we literally had condom on a banana.
I think if budget is tight, then show the class my YouTube videos. It's free.
Free.
It's free. Also, I'll donate my book to your school library, maybe. Depending on how many schools
maybe
are
we
like,
should
yeah.
Crowdfund like
ah!
We should crowdfund a banging book club like minibus or like huge double decker bus like Spice World.
I feel like you've mentioned this multiple times as a concept.
If I keep saying it, people are, it's like confirmation bias, isn't it?
Yeah. Brilliant. Should we do like two more questions?
Yeah, it's good.
Cool.
Hey.
Hi, Rowan.
Hey, Rowan. How's it going?
So obviously you had some like really, really diverse contributors to the book. I was wondering, when you kind of sent out the commissions to people, were there any you got back and you were like, man, I really want to research this subject more. Like, this is something that I hadn't really thought about, and it kind of took you on a bit of an interesting tangent in terms of stuff you wanted to learn about.
Ooh, I like your question. It's a very Rowan question. Be like, nice. Did you want to do more research? I love research. I'm Rowan and I love research. Kind of. I think, to be honest, at the time, I don't think I had brain space to do that or like breathing room, like even if like I wanted to go down that route. Definitely the feminist porn industry side of things, because when I met Erica, she was like, check out this production company. Like,
because also, that's really fun research.
She's based
Can
in
Barcelona. Can we have a feminist porn?
Oh my goodness. She's based in Barcelona. No,
I was thinking a mini-sode.
I would want to touch myself, and that might make you feel uncomfortable.
Yes, it would. Can confirm.
So she's based in Barcelona, and she was being like, oh, there's, you know, feminist porn production companies based in the UK as well. And I was like, oh. And I've, like, still not gotten a chance to, like, look them up and stuff. Definitely stuff around disability and sex. So I was really excited that we got to do that mini-sode. And I got to interview Jenny and Emily. Because that was just something that Ricky's chapter just kind of like opened like a whole new world of stuff that I was like, I've not been taught this and I have no idea how this works or what this is like, because it's just never occurred to me before, because checking my able-bodied privilege. But yeah, that kind of, yeah. Thanks, Rowan. Thanks for contributing to my book as well.
Thanks for writing a book.
One more question.
Sorry, I got
Oh, hi, Jazza.
Hi, Jazza from the internet. Hannah, first of all, you have done what so few people have been able to do, and you've stayed true to yourself and written something that's really brilliant and educational, and that is really outstanding.
Stop it.
And as like I know that all of your friends are proud of you, and I'm sure that all of your viewers and listeners are proud of you as well. So well fucking done.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make you cry.
Thank you.
Also, so the wonderful thing about YouTube and books is that you get to reach this broad audience, but so often the people that are going to need this information the most are not going to have access to this book or to your videos or to this podcast. what do you think needs to happen in order to make sure that as many people consume this as possible? We've talked about like the curriculum to a certain extent. How can we get this in as many laps as possible?
Well, first of all, I saw recently that it's currently like £3 something on Amazon. So like, grab it while it's cheap. But also, I think we're hopefully planning on taking like snippets of the book and making pamphlets out of them and distributing them to schools. So hopefully that's something that happens. And also this year, and hopefully for the years to come, I'm an ambassador for Brooke, the sexual health charity, and they often go into loads of schools and they're really on board with kind of pooling in their resources and all of their knowledge and their connections with like young people across the country, and then also the reach that I have and all of that, and hopefully doing something really special there. I think it's kind of about like pooling in as many resources as possible, really, because, you know, I'm one person, Brooke is one organisation, and everyone else that I have worked with and will work with in the future, it's kind of like everyone, you know, it's kind of like bit by bit. Hopefully we'll get there. And then September 2019, SRE mandatory in all schools, although we have a general election in a few weeks, so we'll see. But on that note, SRE, September 2019, I won't have a job anymore. No. I think we should leave it there, but there's one more thing that we have to do.
I know what it is, I think.
To end a Banging Book Club podcast. And that is the question, would you have sex with this book?
I would have frequent consensual sex with this
book. Yes!
Enthusiastic and frequent consensual sex with this book. Maybe experimental.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now that I've read it, I'm like, what is possible? With all 14 kinds of contraception at once.
Oh, once!
Extra safe. Oh my goodness.
Would you have sex with this book, Anna?
Yeah. I think I probably already have.
What about you guys?
Yeah, would you guys have sex with this book?
Sex with a book.
Thank you. It's not weird. Thank you guys so much for coming tonight. I really hope that you have enjoyed it. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe on iTunes and leave us nice reviews and follow us on Twitter at Banging Book Club. Next month, we are reading, I don't know the full title of it, Lena, Aristotle.
Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe, which is a really, really, really great book. And if you haven't read anything from this list and you just like listening to us talk about clits, then like now is the time to
now
start
is the time
reading
to read it. And we've got a mini-sode coming out in a couple of weeks where me and Lucy interviewed Ash Hardell about her book and her YouTube channel. And
we're all in the same room, guys.
I know, we're actually physically together. Thank you guys so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.